good morning. I'm warning you now. I was at Truth Quest all weekend, so my voice is not the best. So if I cough a little, I'm really sorry. I'm just going to call it out now, right? Then maybe if I call it out, maybe I won't cough. I don't know. We'll see. Let's pray before we get into our study this morning. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you so much for every woman that's here, Lord, and for the kids that have come, Lord. We just pray that you would just bless them in their faithfulness, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we get into this topic, Lord, that it would be your words that are spoken, Lord. The people would feel your grace and your mercy, Lord, and that it would draw us together, Lord, and that we create unity and not division like the enemy wants, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and that we can always turn to it to lead us and guide us in our every action and our every word. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Gossip. How come I didn't get friendship? Just kidding. I even make the schedule. I didn't even pay attention to what I, how I assigned it. Anyway, gossip is one of the most damaging sins that exists. All throughout the Bible, we are given warnings about gossip. The destruction it causes, the way the Lord feels about gossip, and the effects of it. It is a serious sin with serious consequences. But truthfully, it can be difficult to define exactly what gossip is. Tim Keller defines gossip as negative information that may or may not be true, designed to make the speaker and the hearer feel superior to the object of the gossip. I'm going to repeat it again because I think that's a good definition. Negative information that may or may not be true, designed to make the speaker and the hearer feel superior to the object of the gossip. And I really like that definition. Personally, I think that we tend to overuse the word gossip today. Just because someone is talking does not necessarily mean that someone is gossiping. Talking doesn't equal gossiping. Based on that definition, and based on what we see in God's word, we learn that gossip has very specific components. One of the main components is that information being shared is negative information. Maybe it's negative to a certain situation or negative to the person you're talking about, but it's information that doesn't make the subject of the gossip look good. I've heard people share someone else's good news. Have you heard that before, right? Like where people just share, but they're like, oh, it's good news. You know, maybe someone found out they're having a baby. Maybe a friend gets a new job, and the friend goes off and blabs that information to another friend. Sure, that wasn't your information to share. And you need to learn to stay in your own lane. But that's not necessarily gossip. It's just talking and talking too much. Gossip may or may not be based on true information. I have heard many people say that what they're sharing is not gossip because it's true. Right? We've all heard that one. Well, this is true, so it's not gossip, so I can talk about it. Gossip isn't necessarily a lie. But again, that's just not the definition of gossip. It can be true, but if you are choosing to share with bad intentions, that's when it becomes gossip. Which brings me to the defining characteristic, intent. Information becomes gossip when it is shared with wicked intentions. Why you're sharing the information makes all the difference. With gossip, the intention of sharing the information is to make the gossiper feel superior over the person that they're talking about. It is an issue of pride. Intentions really matter when it comes to gossip. Just because someone is talking doesn't mean someone is gossiping. Gossip is a deep-seated heart issue. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words reveal what is in our hearts. It says in Proverbs 18:8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Gossip reveals a deeper spiritual issue within ourselves, and it's always rooted in pride, something that all of us struggle with from time to time. The truth is, we all like to hear gossip. We want to be in the know. We want to be on the inside and have all the information and all the dirt because it makes us feel special and included to know everything. As women, we're very sensitive to feeling left out. We crave being included and we want a sense of belonging. And so when we get a piece of dirt on someone or something, it can make us feel included. It makes us feel special. It can make us feel like we're in the know and like we are connected to those people that we're gossiping with and about. But in reality, gossip is giving us a false sense of connection. It is not giving you a healthy connection to anyone because it is a connection built on sin. And the honest truth is that if someone is gossiping to you about someone, they are gossiping about you to someone else. So that momentary special connection that you're feeling is fake. And it's really bringing death to any real healthy relationship that you might be trying to build with them. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." Gossip feeds the self. It makes us feel better about ourselves. All the while, it's killing our friendships that Meef talked to us about last week. Gossip does nothing but create drama and division. Proverbs 26:20 says, "Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops." Which means that when gossip is going, there is fighting. It takes two people to gossip, one to speak and one to listen and entertain it. Often you will hear people say that all sin is the same in the Lord's eyes. And a couple weeks ago, Nancy reminded us that all sin costs the same. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Sin demands a price. The price is death. And so in that sense, all sin is the same, but not all sin has equal consequences. We see throughout the Bible that sin leaves a nasty effect, not only on us, but on those all around us. Gossip is one of those sins that leaves nothing but a wake of destruction, not only in our life, but in the lives all around us. It has costly consequences. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." It is easy to become angry when you learn that someone has gossiped about you. Proverbs 25:23 says, "As surely as a north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger." It is our natural instinct to be defensive about information shared regarding ourselves and our character. It's understandable. But 2 Corinthians 6:8 says that we serve a God, whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us, we serve God. It is easy to become angry when you hear gossip about yourself, but we are called to keep our focus on Him, to live for an audience of one. Whether people love us or hate us, we are called to stay in His will. We need to not be worried about what others say about us, but that is easier said than done. One of the clearest examples that we have in the Bible is the story of Miriam. And we see this story in Numbers chapter 12. Miriam was Moses' older sister. She was a prominent figure in his life. And it was her who placed Moses in the river and watched over him until Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him, ultimately with him being raised in the palace. And years later, when Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt and through the desert, we see that she had a strong leadership role alongside her brother. She was a prophetess, and she led the women in worship. Micah 6:4 shows us that Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, The three siblings were the main leaders throughout that season in the desert. She had a powerful ministry alongside her brothers. However, we see towards the end of her life that she gets caught up in gossiping about Moses. Miriam had grown discontent and allowed jealousy and envy to grow in her heart. Gossip always comes from a sinful heart with selfish intentions. Let's look at Numbers 12 together, starting in verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So here, right away in verse 1, we have negative intention. The Bible tells us that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. In the New Living Translation, it says that Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses. But Ephesians 4:29 says that we are to let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Criticism is not healthy. It's defined as the expression of disapproval of something or someone based on perceived faults or mistakes. When we criticize someone, we are telling them that what they are doing, or telling them that something in their character is wrong. The intent of criticism is to tear down, not to build up. Criticism does not offer anything constructive. It does not build up or edify. My son plays baseball, and so I get to see a lot of different coaches and how they communicate with players. Some coaches criticize, and others edify. If my son misses the ground ball at shortstop, his coach could criticize him by telling him how he missed that ball, that it was horrible, and that you cost your team a run. All those things would be true, and they would be factual. But they're critical. They're tearing down. They're not providing anything constructive to my son. It's revealing a critical heart, a judgmental heart. Instead, the coach could offer constructive feedback to my son. My coach would tell him, the next time the ball comes to you, put your glove down on the ground and cover the ball with your opposite hand so that you stop the ball and you make the play instead of missing the ball. The coach is still telling the truth. He isn't lying and telling him that he did a great job or that he's wonderful. That wouldn't be true. It was a bad play. It would be flattery. But the coach is able to acknowledge the mistake, to give him constructive feedback, to edify him, to encourage him and build him up, to become a better baseball player the next time the ball comes to him. Miriam and Aaron were not giving constructive criticism. They were criticizing Moses' life choices and elevating themselves above him. Let's continue to look at Miriam's behavior in verse 2. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? From verse 2, we can infer that this conversation, this criticism of Moses, was done behind his back. Aaron and Miriam were speaking to each other about Moses, making these judgmental statements, questioning his life choices. They were speaking for the Lord, as if they knew what God's will was for Moses' life. They were not addressing Moses, asking him why he married the person they did. They didn't give him a word of warning or caution. They were making critical remarks, and he was not there to provide context or reasoning. He wasn't even given the opportunity to speak for himself. Oftentimes, as women, especially, we tend to criticize the actions of other women. We tend to question why they're doing the things they're doing. We question the things that they say. We question the people we say them to. And when we do that, we are sowing discord among the family of God. James 3:16 tells us that where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. In this second verse in Numbers, we see that their motive was to elevate themselves above Moses. They were prideful. Their tone, Who does he think he is? We don't like this decision he made. And doesn't God speak to us as well? They were putting him down for his decision to marry the Ethiopian woman, at the same time questioning his authority and saying that they had that same authority. Their gossip revealed their prideful heart. They were speaking out of pride. And we do the same thing all the time. Who does she think she is? She isn't better than me. Why is that person friends with her? Why does she have that job? Why is she serving in that ministry? Is she even worthy? We often spend so much time worrying about others that we neglect to seek the Lord for how he wants us to handle situations in our own life. We step in and we try to control narratives to fit the one that makes us feel good about ourselves and our decisions. We think we can handle everything, and we become prideful, thinking we know better than God, taking matters into our own hands. Let's pick back up in verse 3 of Numbers 12. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of my Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. When Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord, please do not lay that sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please hear her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. I love that the Lord steps in for Moses. This is a huge lesson there. If you're feeling attacked by someone, let the Lord fight your battles. We don't need to be running around screaming our truth. The Lord is the truth, and we need him to reveal the truth. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight your battles. You need only to be still. Be still, and let the Lord fight for you. The Lord fought Moses' battle better than he ever could. Miriam and Aaron's criticism was rooted in pride, and I love that God pointed that out in his word, that they were acting prideful and that Moses was humble. And not just humble, but more humble than all other men on the face of the earth. Wow. The Lord delivered the truth. And that really reveals the amount of pride that Miriam and Aaron had in their hearts. Romans 1:28-29 says, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. Gossip is a sin that is full of pride. It is relying on yourself and not relying on the Lord. The Lord's consequence to Miriam may have seemed harsh, but as we see in James 3, verse 1, that as a spiritual leader, she would be held to stricter judgment. The Lord dealt with her gossiping swiftly and strictly so that her sin did not cause any other damage to the people. The Lord's punishment for her gossip was protecting the whole camp. As a leader gossiping about Moses' authority, it could have ignited a huge fire, creating division and destruction throughout the camp as they traveled across the desert. But God fought Moses' battle. Psalm 101, 4 through 5 says that a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. Gossip gives us that false sense of belonging and being in the know. Miriam was trying to elevate herself when she criticized Moses' choices to Aaron. She was trying to give herself a stronger leadership role than Moses. She was trying to strengthen her relationship with the people in a negative way. Instead, her actions isolated her from the people. The punishment she was given, leprosy, isolated her. If you had leprosy, you were as good as dead. No one could touch you. You had to be outside of the city gates. She wanted relationship, but instead, she was set out of the camp for 7 days, away from the people with no connection. And that's what gossip does. It kills relationships. It isolates us. Sin is messy and the price is high unless we choose to turn our life over to Christ and accept the free gift that he gave us at the cross. So how do we know when we're gossiping? How do we know when we should share information? Because remember, talking isn't always gossiping. I saw a quote the other day that said, "Be careful what you hear about somebody. You might be hearing it from the problem." When handling information, we need to exercise discernment. Really, we need to exercise discernment in every area of our life, but especially when it comes to our speech as both the hearer and the speaker. As the one about to speak, you need to pause. Ask the Lord, is this something that I should share? Is what I'm saying, is what I'm going to say true? Is what I'm going to say helpful? Is what I'm going to say, is it going to inspire and edify the hearer and this situation? Is what I'm going to say necessary? Half the time we say things and it doesn't need to be said. As women, we love to talk. We love to talk about how other women mother, how they are as wives. We talk about why they choose to wear that outfit that they wore. We just like to share information that makes us feel superior and feel in the know. It makes us feel on the inside. We like to share information that makes us feel like we're in a position and a place of power. But at the end of the day, we all need to be using more discernment. Matthew 12:36 tells us that for every idle word we speak, we will give account of it on judgment day. We all need to be praying that God would give us a bigger filter to help filter out the things that we shouldn't be saying. We could all use more self-control. There is not one woman in this room who has that fruit of the Spirit on lock. We could all use more self-control, but the only way we get that fruit of the Spirit is to abide in him. It's simple, really, and yet we all struggle to be intentional in spending time with him. We need to be in his word daily. We need to be in prayer with him constantly. And you know, if we're praying to him without ceasing, like his word tells us we're supposed to, we won't have time to gossip. I'll be so busy talking to the Lord, I won't have any more words to say. And as the hearer, we need to pray and we need to seek the Lord about how we would respond. Romans 16:17 says that we should note those who cause division and avoid them. And so if we know someone is going around gossiping, we shouldn't join them. We should avoid them. And we need to pray and ask the Lord how to handle it. How do we avoid them? Or maybe it's a really good friend of yours that's gossiping and you need to consider calling it out. You need to pray about it, and maybe that's what the Lord would have you do. Maybe he wants you to ask and go to that person, hey, I hear this. It's sounding like gossip. Did you say this? What's really going on? What is your thought behind this? What's your reason for this? If it's truly your friend, you can get on the same page. You know, Meef shared with us last week about friendship, and a true godly friend should point us to Jesus and always be drawing us closer to him. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." A true friend should be able to lovingly ask us hard questions that are intended to help put our heart in check. Or maybe it's someone who's not a friend that's going around gossiping. Proverbs 20:19 tells us that she who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with her lips. And this one's hard, and it also takes self-control to be the one to walk away from information that might tempt you. We always tell our kids, if someone is talking about someone else and they're gossiping and they're just people that are causing drama and talking all the time, they're probably not your people. They're not a friend, and that's not the character of someone you want to be friends with. So don't try. Even though it's tempting. It's tempting to be like, oh, those are all the cool people. They're talking all the time. I want to be with them. Don't go there. If they're talking about people all the time, they're just not your people. Go find your people. It's better to have two or three good, solid friends who point you to Jesus than a group of friends that are constantly running their mouth. In every decision we make, in every word we say, we should be seeking the Lord for his will for this situation. Seeking his will for how we should handle it. We need to be seeking the Lord for how he wants us to deal with gossip. Gossip is ugly, but the honest truth is that we tend to throw that word around pretty carelessly. Just because someone is talking doesn't mean they're gossiping. The difference between talking and gossiping is the heart behind it. The motive and the intent makes all the difference. And the hard part about that is we don't always know everyone's motive behind every word they speak. Proverbs 16:2 says, "All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but it's the Lord who weighs the spirits." Sometimes the motivation to share information is good and loving. Remember that a good definition for gossip is negative information that may or may not be true, and that it's designed to make the speaker and the hearer feel superior to the object of the gossip. Not every conversation about a person is coming from a bad heart designed to put another person down. Years ago, I came home from work. I'm going to give you an example of like my kids. It'll be like an obvious one, but you can apply it to people of all ages. Years ago, I came home from work, and some of you have heard this story, and I was looking at some schoolwork that I had left for my daughter to do. She was young, and she didn't always understand everything that she read. And so as I graded, I came to a question, and the answer that she wrote down said, "Answers may vary." When Chris came home from work that afternoon, him and I went and had a conversation about Kinley's sin. She had cheated on her homework by looking at the answers in the back of the book. And then when I confronted her, she denied it multiple times. My conversation with my husband was sharing negative information about my daughter. I let him know that she had cheated, that she had lied, and we talked about her heart issues surrounding that behavior. In addition to sharing negative information about her, she wasn't present when Chris and I talked about it. You could say that we were talking behind her back, but we were not gossiping about her. We were sharing information about her sin so that we as her parents could be on the same page of how we needed to parent her moving forward. Our heart and intent behind sharing that information was good. I wanted Chris to know how his daughter was doing so that we could be praying and working together on that heart issue, drawing her closer to Jesus. I had good intentions of sharing negative information about my child. Sometimes we do have to share difficult and even sinful information, but it can be done in a godly way with good and loving intentions. Ephesians 4:15 tells us that we are to speak the truth in love. When you are talking, it should always be from a place and a heart of love and not of self. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What are the words that your speech is revealing about your heart today? We are either speaking life or we are speaking death. Miriam was such a strong and powerful leader throughout her life, and yet in the final chapter, we see her words bringing death. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." And James 1:19 says that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. My prayer this morning is that each of us would choose to take some time to self-reflect on why we say the things that we say, that we will not be impulsive or rash with our words, that we would be quick to listen to others, that we would be quick to extend grace and give them the benefit of the doubt, that we would be slow to anger. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, and we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And Lord, that last verse, that's our prayer, Lord. Our prayer would be that we would weigh our words, that we would weigh our answers before you, before they ever come out of our mouth, Lord. That we would seek your face, and that we would seek your will for our life, for our every action, that we would just stay in your will, that we would stay in the lane that you've put us in and not jump over into someone else's lane and not involved in someone else where we don't belong. Lord, I pray that our words would be measured and that they would edify, that they would build up, and that they would draw others closer to you. Lord, I thank you for each of these ladies that's here, Lord. I pray that you would be in our table time, Lord, that our conversations would be full of grace and mercy, and that we would extend that to one another, Lord, and that you would bring unity to the body of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for sustaining my voice. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for all these things. In your name we pray, amen.